bells ringing, diamonds blinging, carols singing, favorite season. Sleigh bells ringing, diamonds blinging, carols singing, favorite season. They said, say, Nick, what you got up in that bag, yeah. I got racks, racks in my sack or in my back, yeah. They said, say, Nick, what you got up in that bag, yeah. Racks in my sack or in my bag, yeah. Smoke frozen, neck is frozen.
Oh, what's up,
catch
everybody,
me
welcome
rolling.
In I'm episode Nick 220 of Amalgamation Nation, the AM Nation pod, wrapping up the year 2021 in a great way with some gaming news. Super excited to get into this today. We recorded our sports episode yesterday. That's out now on podcast platforms. Just check that out. And then this will be up a little bit later, right before the Christmas break. So yeah, we'll finish this episode up. We'll be back in 2022. Have a nice little holiday break for everybody. I think that'll be nice. Nice little refresher. This is the 100th episode that we've done this year alone, which is pretty cool. Considering we had that break and everything, that's pretty awesome. As always, I am the anime watching booze cruising Olivia Munn's like and John Cena's bestie, Ryan Green Machine Ebner, joining me today from North Carolina, Brendan BK Kennerly. BK, how are you? What you been playing?
I'm good. It's a rainy day here in Eastern North Carolina. And before I get into what I'm playing, I have a bone to pick with you. With you, Mr. Ebner. You have awesome intro Christmas music on the sports podcast. Not here for the gaming podcast. WTF, bro.
I'm going to be honest with you. Forgot to upload the Christmas one. So I clicked it and I realized it's the gaming intro. So,
okay, fine. I'll accept that.
There it is. Maybe I'll throw it in the editing. Maybe I'll throw the Christmas music in. I don't know.
Sorry. I've been playing Halo Infinite. I was actually playing before we came on. I'm getting close to the end of the mainline story, and so I'll actually probably end up putting that up for a little bit to really, because I want to play that like co-op campaign and kind of really go for all the like audio logs and collectibles. Like I've done all the forward operating bases in it. I've rescued all the squads. I've done all that. I did all the like hit list of all the guys in the banished. I've done all that. So I've done those three things almost on the story, and I'll probably put it aside until the co-op campaign, and then I'll probably just play co-op campaign endlessly with buddies. And yeah, so then I guess after that, I don't know what I'm going to play. Maybe Guardians of the Galaxy, maybe some more Greedfall, maybe something else. I don't know.
Very nice, very nice, very nice. Also joining us this evening, Dan, the man, the Freakster Freego. Dan, how are you? What you been playing?
I'm doing good, man. It's finally really nice out here in Arizona. It's been low 60s, maybe 70 degrees during the day, in the 50s and 40s at night.
Ooh.
Real nice. I have been playing a mixture of things. So, been back on that WoW grind recently. Just got myself a Nintendo Switch. So, I just started Breath of the Wild. So, get into that game. And then, I also was playing some Halo multiplayer, but because I got some other games, I haven't started the campaign yet, but that is something on my list I want to start here really shortly.
Hell yeah. Awesome. Glad you got a Switch, man. That's awesome. So now, I know Mike just added you, and the rest of us will have to get your friend code, and we'll add you too. That'd be pretty fun.
Yes, sir.
Also joining us today, Monster Hunter Mike, Big Papa fucking Sunshine himself. Mike, how are you? What you been playing?
Hi, I'm right here. What have I been playing? You already know what I've been playing. Yeah. I've been playing a lot of WoW. Big surprise with Mr. Dan right there. We played one night of Serious Sam 4. It's just stupid run and gun, but it was fun.
If you pay for that game, I feel sorry for you.
Yeah. And we were about to, but thank God again to Game Pass.
No, yeah, thank God. Shout
out to Game Pass. And congrats on 100 episodes, too. Well, three of which are Weebisodes, so go check them out.
You know, I'm going to go back and see how many of them actually are Weebisodes. I do think it might be a little bit more than three. It might be like five.
I think it's more than that.
It might be like five.
And also, I got another bone to pick with you. I agree with BK. That song was booty. We need a better one.
Wow. All right. All right. We'll start off the year fresh.
Start off the year fresh. I'll find something else. You're right. That's all right. That's all right. I hear a voice.
I'm going to throw my two cents.
Oh, my God.
Hold on. I haven't introduced you yet. Hold on.
God.
And we're back for the final show of the year. Guadalupe, he'll mow your long estimo. Junior, welcome back.
Thank you. Thank you. Glad to be back.
What is your two cents? There you go.
I agree with BK and Mike. Song was booty.
3 out of 5.
That's not
booty. 3 out of 5 is actually not that bad of a rating, though.
I mean, I didn't want to just pile it on, but, you know.
4 out of 5.
Damn. All right. I guess we'll...
Should be a nice one.
I guess we'll be showing, changing the intro music, everybody, when you get back in 2022. So there's that. Let's get into some gaming news. Starting with Dr. Disrespect has started a new gaming studio. It's called 12 AM. Features former COD dev Robert Bowling and former Halo dev Quinn Del Hoyo. It is a AAA gaming studio. Don't know what they're going to work on yet. I haven't really seen too much on that. I just know that he started the new studio, which is pretty cool. For Dr. Disrespect, looks like he's doing A-OK after Twitch banned him that we never found out the reason why. So that is pretty, pretty cool. I know also something that's not very cool in BK's eyes, NFTs, buddy.
Yeah. So
he likes Little Richards.
He does like Little Richards. Shout out to those.
Well... we'll get it. I don't want to. We can talk about the Little Richards at the end. Like, does your brother even want to talk about that?
No, I'm waiting until he actually releases them.
Okay, yeah, yeah. So, like, we're just teasing people about a Little Richards. So, just like, now we're giving them little blue balls. We're giving them little blue balls with a Little Richard. GSC Game World announced earlier this week that Stalker 2, which, like, all right, I didn't know that Stalker was an acronym. That's dumb. So, like, let's just get that out of the way. Stalker 2, like, there's actually, like, periods. So, like, the S stands for something, so it's a T. That's stupid. So, Stalker 2, Heart of Chernobyl, has partnered with NFT platform DMarket to bring NFTs to the game. One of the NFTs would have allowed the owner to become a meta-human, which is an NPC. After a lot of fan backlash, GSC Game World deleted the tweet, I think it was around 4 hours later, and scrapped all plans for the NFT in the game. I'm really glad that they did this because it was another cash grab. And essentially, they were trying to get people just to trade the NFTs back and forth. And essentially, every time it was traded, they take a little cut of it all the time. And as it's slowly increasing value, then they pick one person, bam, oh, now you're an NPC in the game. Just seemed like an incredibly disingenuous, shitty way to do something like that.
Yeah, it is. It's pretty stupid. I know we're going to get into more NFTs here in a second, too. But we talked about it last week with Ubisoft. And then I know we're going to get into it more. But like, it was just kind of a thing where it's just a really weird thing. I don't know if NFTs really belong in this space, in the video game space. I don't really think they do. I'll start with you, Dan. What are your thoughts here on NFTs, like, being rolled out into the video game space? Should they? Do you think they should just kind of not be, or what's your thoughts on it?
To be honest with you, I'm not too informed on what NFTs really are. I mean, I know them, but I mean, when it comes to video games, I think it's just another, like, cash grab kind of thing. I don't think they should be. I think it should be its own separate entity. I don't think it should be rolled in with something such as video games. That's just probably me sounding old and me not being totally informed on what NFTs can do for the video game community. But just based on my experience, what I know of them, I don't think they belong in there.
Well, Dan, if you're sounding old and you're the youngest member of the podcast, then boy, the rest of us
see, because I'm with the older people, I have that mentality of older generation.
You got an old soul, Dan. You got an old soul.
And Mike, an old back.
Mike, what are your thoughts here on NFTs in video games?
Honestly, I agree with Dan. I am too old for this. I'm too old for this shit. like, I still don't grab the concept of it. I thought it was a fucking GIF. That's what I thought. So how does this go into games? Like, does it? Is it a skin? Is it a fucking? I don't know. I don't have an opinion because I'm too fucking old.
Hey, you're not old enough to call them GIFs, so at least you call them GIFs. God bless.
GIF.
I heard that too on Grace by Rain, her fucking peanut butter podcast.
Oh, yeah, that. I was thinking of other person, but yes, that person does it too. Dan knows who I'm talking about. They also call memes memes, so.
Oh. Tough times.
Yeah. No way. Long live memes. Junior, your thoughts here as the oldest member of the podcast, your thoughts on NFTs in video games?
I mean, if these guys are saying that they're old and don't know what's going on, I'm ancient and I've apparently had my head buried under a rock. I don't even know what NFTs are or what they do. But I kind of do agree with what Maple was saying on the second part. I don't see how that would be part of it. I don't know what Stalker is. So maybe something like, what was that one? Watch Dogs? Mm-hmm. If they incorporate something like that, like as far as like ads or like billboards type of deal where they're publicizing it, be what we could incorporate into it. But as far as like what BK was saying, where it's like going back and forth as a cash grab or whatever, it's just anytime you have something blatantly telling you buy this, or you can have this on, or trade it with somebody, cut from it. Come on. You're not even hiding.
Right. Yeah, it's a very good point. That is interesting whether they would be popped up as ads in video games too. That's a different perspective too that we haven't talked about yet. That's an interesting one. BK, do you want to save your rage for this, or do you want to unleash your rage on the Ubisoft part?
I'll unleash my rage on the Ubisoft part because I'm actually like an Ubisoft fan, so yeah. I feel like that's more fitting.
Save your energy.
Save it, yeah. Save your breath.
I'm there. Old. I gotta save the energy up for spurts, you know.
Exactly.
I'm not a young buck.
Oh yeah.
I'm not Dan over here.
Yeah, the young man of the show. Let's talk about some good stuff. Return of the Jedi and the Fellowship of the Ring have been added to the Library of Congress by the National Film Registry. That's awesome. Two of the top nerd films of all time. So that's pretty fantastic. Personally, I'm more of an Empire Strikes Back guy, but whatever. That actually might already be in there. Who knows? I just don't know. But Return of the Jedi being in there, pretty sweet. And the Fellowship of the Ring. That makes me think of when we decided that, like, let's watch the Lord of the Rings movies that one night at David and Mike's old apartment. And I thought the movie was over after like 2 hours, and I realized it was only halfway through. And I was like, wow. I don't remember it being this long version. When I was little. Ooh.
It's probably the extended version.
Oh, yeah, it probably was the extended version. So instead of a four-hour movie, it's an eight-hour movie. Fantastic. But yeah, pretty awesome. And then Ubisoft confirms there is a remake of Splinter Cell on the way. That is the most wet fart way of announcing Splinter Cell I've ever seen in my life. They literally just tweeted it out, and they're just like, yeah, so we're kind of working on this. Like, that worries me already off the bat that, like, they don't understand that, like, they have such a huge fan base that has been clamoring for a new Splinter Cell to get Sam Fisher back in the action. And they're like, there's no hype. There's no, like, CGI trailer just to tease it. Nothing. They're just like, yeah, we're doing one in a tweet. I'm like, great. And it's honestly probably just because of the next topic with Ubisoft. After everything going off their NFT situation, which we talked about last week, they were just trying to get some type of good publicity real quick, and it didn't really work. And it is a remake of the original Splinter Cell. Obviously, the original Splinter Cell came out, my God, like that was so almost 20 years ago, I think, now. And a lot of change.
GameCube, right? What was
it for? It was for who?
Was it for the GameCube, the original Splinter Cell?
And for Xbox, right? It was on Xbox.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, there's a lot of room to work with that, right? You're going to obviously change the movement, physics, and some other things, which I think will be cool. I mean, you got the sneak assassin type of genre. If you can really put out a great game, you really make a big killing in that market, because after Metal Gear Solid kind of was done, that market's been kind of dry, right? I mean, Assassin's Creed's there, but Assassin's Creed's kind of branched off into its own thing, right? I mean, you have the Hitman series, that's very different. But to get Splinter Cell back would be really cool. I'm just very nervous that Ubisoft is just going to fuck it up. And that does terrify me quite a bit. Dan, are you a fan? I know you're a fan of Splinter Cell. Do you have hopes for a Splinter Cell remake? Or, like, are you excited? Or are you just kind of like, I don't know?
Well, to be honest, I used to really like the Splinter Cell series. But the last couple, I think, was at Blacklist. There was the one before that one. I don't remember the title name. But it kind of changed the way the game played. And it was more run and gun, in my opinion, rather than, like, sneaky, you know, assassin-type style gameplay. One of the ones I really loved to play was Double Agent. I wish they would remake that one, because I think that's one of the best Splinter Cells in the series. And to me, I don't even know who's really honestly asking for this. And even like a new Splinter Cell, again, I haven't been a fan of the series recently because I don't like the way the playstyle is nowadays. So it doesn't really excite me to hear about a new Splinter Cell in the making.
Yeah, I get you there. Mike, your thoughts on Splinter Cell?
I don't really have a thought on this either. It's not my kind of game. I gravitate more towards open world and more RPG type of game. So, you know, if people want it, hey, they can have it. No skin off my nose.
Oh, maybe some skin off your ass. I don't know. Junior, your thoughts on Splinter Cell? Are you in the same boat as the other two?
I'm kind of like on the fence because I do like Splinter Cell. As far as like whole stealth, like saying assassination aspect of it, of trying to thought while you've been to me. So what I heard, you know, that remake, like I said, like it's been so many years since I've played that game. I don't know if that same passion is there for it. It'd have to be something where like I gotta see the trailer or see the play of it, maybe some pick up later. Or if I just kinda stick to my bread and butter and just rolled our.
Yeah, I mean, for me personally, big fan of Splinter Cell, so I am excited. I'm just worried about how Ubisoft's going to handle it. BK, your thoughts here on Splinter Cell, the remake now being worked on?
Well, I'm glad the remake's being worked on. The announcement of this, like you said, it was to really cover up the whole NFT things. It was like the whole Dan Schneider, like, try to throw John Gruden under the bus with the email thing. Ooh, and try to distract
tying
you.
All the shows together. Look at that.
There you go. Yep. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's cool they're bringing it back. I just hope it's not open world. There are getting to be a little too many open world games out there in general, which I know is weird for me to say because I do love open worlds, but I do miss the more mainline Assassin's Creed games where it's not open world and it's not really an RPG. It's literally about being an assassin. You have a path and there's like the perfect way to get that assassination and all that stuff like that. And it's like finding the tricks and the way to do that, which you kind of do the same in Splinter Cell. Those and even Metal Gear Solid used to be the same way, where it was very stealth like the first couple ones. It's like, all right, you had to really creep around. You couldn't get the little. Couldn't notify the bad guys, couldn't get the red exclamation point above their head. That's how it used to be. And then it seems like slowly a bunch of these games have evolved into open world for better or for worse. So we'll see in that aspect. But to kind of keep it on Ubisoft here, head of Ubisoft, Yves Guillemot said, NFTs are just the beginning. Bom, bom, bom! After the backlash, after the announcement of Quartz and Ghost Recon Breakpoint, Yves held a staff meeting with the Paris team. Funny about this is that when they were having all the extra long like work hours, like all the crunch and all the like kind of bad workplace environment that was going around like Ubisoft, and especially at the Paris team, he never went there and held a staff meeting about any of that stuff going on. But the whole NFT backlash with Quartz, he went there to go talk to them about that. So that's to show you where their priorities lie there in and of itself. The Paris team were left very disappointed by what he said. Yves compared NFTs to DLC, downloadable content, microtransactions, and loot boxes. And so one of those three are good. DLC are like, I'm usually okay with, like, yeah, it's great if it's packaged into the game, but I'll pay you extra money if it's really worth it. If it's adding a lot of value to the game, then sure, I'll give you extra money, like, you know, towards it, like the Witcher 3 expansions, like whatever it may be. There's tons of examples of quality DLC. Then there's also bad DLC. Now, microtransactions and loot boxes, they're pretty shitty. They're just not good. Like, I think we can all agree on that. They're just
got some pretty good loot boxes, bro.
Okay. Well then especially so microtransactions, but I personally I'm not a big fan of loot boxes. It's like, just tell me what I'm getting, I'll pay you exactly for it. That's where, like, being more transparent instead of making it like gambling and feeding a habit, like, ooh, what am I gonna get this time?
Maybe that's why I have such a problem. Now it all links together.
Yeah, now it makes a sense.
Yeah, I am a real degenerate. God bless.
This is why I don't gamble. Mm-hmm. Yves also teased.
Wild had loot boxes.
I don't know.
That would be.
Mike would spend all his money to get whatever the random mount is.
No, I don't like store mounts. I like earning my mounts. If I see somebody on the store mount, I'm like, fuck.
Oh. Wow. Okay.
I am
he looks down on
air.
Him.
Yeah, my nose up in the air. Fuck him.
How many store mounts do you have now?
Two.
Okay.
Out of how many mounts?
Oh, store mounts? Like 20.
No, like how many mounts in total do you have?
Oh, 332 to... 331.
You have almost as many mounts as days in the year?
Yes. This right. is not a WoW podcast. Let's move on.
Hold on. I just want to establish. Put that in perspective. Somebody who for 10 plus years only has 157. He's been playing for a year. Has twice as more than twice as
God damn, Mike. Mind. Sorry, my Mike. God. Sorry, I didn't mean to put
Mike
you on blast.
Mike knows how to grind. Mike's a grinder. He's a Gruden grinder. He is. Back up to
like,
the years.
Wow. Anyway, let's move on.
We love you, Mike. Yves also teased that the blockchain would allow players to build virtual houses and have agency in the creation process in games. So that should kind of send off some red flags to you about what Ubisoft plans on doing going forward for NFTs. Like, they're gonna try to nickel and dime you. Just like, it's the same thing with microtransactions and loot boxes. The idea is to nickel and dime you, try to get extra ways of income to help make the game sustainable. Yves frequently referenced Roblox in this Paris meeting. Oof. Even though the game has been called out for player exploitation and shoddy regulation of late. Henceforth, my comments about the loot boxes, that's been a big thing with Roblox, because that's targeted toward like kids specifically, and then taking all of like their parents' money. Mm-hmm. So like that's where like they're getting called out for that, and rightfully so. Lastly, Ubisoft developers are worried about shoehorning NFTs into Ubisoft games that are already poached to the gills with doodads and bebops and all that shit, because as we all know, and like I said, I'm a Ubisoft fan here, the world can be overwhelming. There's a lot of markers. There's a lot of shit to do. Like I said, in Far Cry 6, there's fucking races. I don't care about fucking racing anything in Far Cry. I want to like walk around. I want to shoot shit. And I want to see animals like I want to see like a tiger just start mauling a deer and stuff like that. I just want to get into these wacky, crazy scenarios like that. Like, that's why people play Far Cry. I don't play for fucking races. So, and I guess like my overall thoughts on this, sorry, the cat's being a psychopath, is that I don't know if I can completely stop playing Ubisoft games, but I can tell you without a doubt that I won't be buying a single NFT related to any video game property whatsoever. It's not my style. But I'm having a real internal struggle on like if I'm going to purchase the next Ubisoft game or not, just because I'm a big proponent of like, hey, you got to put your money where your mouth is. And if you want certain evil practices to stop, like this, I'm going to consider this evil practice, you got to put your money where your mouth is. So the next Ubisoft game, it's going to be really tough for me to potentially not buy it. And I'm seriously considering it just because I got to be a man of my word, and you got to take a stand when you can. And I don't know. I don't like this. I don't want them in games. I want games to be fun. I don't want people to essentially like lose themselves or have to have like a gambling hotline for fucking loot boxes in games. Like, you're seeing these commercials now when you watch NFL games, like, hey, gamble responsibly. And I understand, like, I'm libertarian in that sense. Like, it's your money. Like, do whatever you want. Like, all the gambling and all the drugs, they should all be legal. Like, you're an adult. Make that decision. But at the same time, like, I don't know, like, just let me play my video games and enjoy them without trying to shove other shit down my throat.
Yeah. Yeah, there you go. It'll be interesting to see what Ubisoft does. Like, them doubling down on it is kind of interesting. Instead of taking the approach that GSC did when they were like, ooh, but never mind. Now, again, GSC, not nearly as massive as Ubisoft. A little bit different. Ubisoft maybe feels like they could fuck around and find out a little bit. So we will see. But let's get some more exciting news. It's my favorite time of the year. It is the end of the year, which means Pornhub releases all their related statistics on all you naughty, naughty nerds. And it is my favorite fucking thing. So the number one most searched thing on Pornhub in 2021, drum roll, welcome to the Weebisodes, everybody. It's hentai. Woo! There you go.
I can see why our numbers are so high on the Weebisodes. Right?
They think that we're going to talk about hentai, and then they're disappointed every time. Every time.
You got to wait for episode 69 for that one.
That's right. Weebisode 69.
There you go.
It will be a full-on junior explaining hentai and yaoi to everybody. So,
could every episode just be episode 69? Just call it, oh, 69A, 69B.
It could. It could, but I like, you know, I like building it up, you know, building it up. Let's get into some video game related when it comes to Pornhub. So, gaming consoles, in case you're wondering, aren't just for fun or just for playing games. You can search porn on your internet browsers on video games, and I guess apparently people do. And the most used console when it comes to looking up Pornhub, 60.6% is PlayStation, 36.8% Xbox, 2.2% the PlayStation Vita. Man, fantastic. Yeah, people
hey,
still use
what?
That. Yeah, dude, people still use the Vita. And never mind the last one, but 0.4% of traffic on a video game console is the Wii U /3DS. There you are.
Hey, it's got a touchscreen though.
Who's wait on their Wii U so they can take? They want to take their gamepad to a private area.
Yeah, they're taking care of their business, brother.
Wow.
Yanking their shit.
old stuff, man.
Got a touchscreen for a reason, man.
The most searched video games.
Using the pencil or not? Like they're using the stylus on the screen, or think they're going touch base with it?
Oh no, they're snail trailing the shit out of that.
Oh man, it's just like
ew.
That screen's ruined. Ew. There's just streaks everywhere.
Oh God, bless.
And not the brown ones.
Yeah, just
nasty. I'm gonna work my way from bottom to top for these most searched video games on Pornhub.
There you
right?
go.
Let's start at the bottom, baby. Street Fighter. Next, Mass Effect. Then, Splatoon. Up 9 spots, Cyberpunk 2077. Next, Skyrim. Final Fantasy. Damn, I really thought there was going to be more Tifa love there. So I thought that would have been a little bit higher. Mortal Kombat. Nice. League of Legends. Dragon Ball Z. Everyone's favorite game, the game that keeps on giving, GTA 5, Resident Evil, Roblox. That's weird. It's right, real weird.
What the hell?
It's real weird. Apex Legends.
Like Minecraft?
Basically, it's like watching Minecraft porn, yes. Genshin Impact. FNAF. I don't know what that is. So if anybody does, feel free.
I don't know.
Five Nights at Freddy's?
Oh, yeah, maybe it is Five Nights at Freddy's. Okay, nice.
Yep.
There you go, guys.
Yep, that's a porn.
Yeah. Among Us. Oh, that's sus. Extra sus, everybody. Brawl Stars at number 5. At number 4, you dirty motherfuckers, is Pokemon. You dirty sons of a bitches, dude.
Every year, Pokemon makes it up.
Micah Jr., question for you. I don't know. Dan might have been there as well. Do you guys remember when we were doing this at Joey's house? We did this the podcast the first time. We went through all the Pornhub statistics and Pokemon was on there, and we looked up the porn.
Yeah.
Okay.
I was not there for that.
Okay, you weren't there for that. Yeah, it was really weird. Someone was painted in all yellow to look like Pikachu. It was very weird.
The live action one.
Oh, yeah. Live action? Like they're like.
Yeah, it was live action because we did this on a Big J BB show, and Sam was there, and Sam's like, no, we can't just gloss over the fact that people are looking up Pokemon porn. Like, I need to know what the fuck that is. And we looked it up. We're like, this is the weirdest shit. Coming in at number three, Overwatch. You fucking nerds. Number two, Minecraft. Why?
What? How?
What?
I don't know. I'm not researching it. Feel free to research it on your own.
Real quick.
Yeah.
What was there even the like? The fucking, I don't even know what you research. Like
theme for Minecraft, railing a cow. I don't know.
Oh my god! In diamond armor.
Don't give up.
So grainy. Like Junior and I had to deal with like trying to watch like grainy porn back in the day, like trying to get the Spice Channel and just like working the box like correctly, and like that's all we had. It's like, yeah, that's why it was great. But yeah, now he's like, you can get 4K porn. Why do Minecraft?
Hey, you were lucky. You had a cable box. I had to run outside and fuck around with the antenna.
Junior's on the roof in the rain, and he's like, oh, God.
Like, do I see a titty? No, that's just dope.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Got pants down on the roof.
I feel like I'm not going to research this on what that looks like. Feel free to do that on your own time. But I have to assume it's not good.
Please don't.
You picture, like, what does that even look like? Like, how do you, it's like, after you finish and you're like, you feel really bad about what you just looked at.
Yeah.
That's definitely one of those things. I'm like, I don't understand why I was watching this.
I feel like Junior's looking it up. I feel like that's why he's laughing so hard.
He's looking it up, bro.
So fucked up.
Oh, what the fuck?
There we go.
Put that away, man.
Put your dick away. Number one searched video game on Pornhub. Does anybody have a guess?
Well, my guess was going to be Overwatch, but that came at three.
World of Warcraft.
Oh, all right. Mike?
Oh. Yeah, I could beat off to some elves. Yeah, I'll throw my hat in there. World of Warcraft.
BK, do you have a guess on the most searched video game on Pornhub?
The Minecraft one is fucked up.
It is fucked. I saw that.
The first one that popped up, Enderman steals more than my diamonds.
Oh, my God.
All right. In terms of my guess, I went into private browsing on my phone.
Oh, of course. Same. Yeah. You have to. Incognito, everybody.
Real quick aside, the older guys at work did not know about private browsing. And I was like, oh, here you go. I can save y'all guys a lot of headache and heartache. And I was like, boom, talk about private browsing. And they were like, what? I was like, game changer.
I wonder how many red flags you just triggered.
I don't know.
Right. In terms of a video game guess, like what Persona? I feel like Persona might be in there.
Ooh, all right, well here it is. Persona. The most searched video game on Pornhub in 2021 is Fortnite.
Oh,
I'm disappointed in the human race.
Yeah,
that's not much better than Minecraft. I mean, that's still
now. Now, not only is there video game searches, there are video game character searches. And allow me to let you know on those. Let's start at the bottom again or work our way up, everybody. Ruby from Fortnite at the bottom. Wraith from Apex Legends. Katana from Mortal Kombat. Yeah, that's fucking sweet.
Yeah. Chun-Li at the top.
Ooh.
My vote, Chun-Li at the top.
Your vote is Chun-Li. Widowmaker. Oh, yeah, let's do this here. Okay, so Chun-Li, Widowmaker Jr., who do you think is the number one character?
Pretty much any female NPC from Skyrim.
Oh.
Because I know how many mods are out there.
The Huntress.
BK, do you have a guess on the most looked up video game character?
It's a me!
Mario? Oh, man. I think it's gotta be... Maybe Zelda. Maybe Zelda.
Alright, here we go. Let's keep it going. Next up, Jules. Jules from Fortnite. I don't know who that is, but there you go. Next is Arganian from Skyrim.
Arganian.
There you go. Tiny Tina from Borderlands. Jesus Christ. Yeah.
Oof. Oh, okay.
This one could be a favorite for you, BK. The next one, Abby from The Last of Us.
Oh my god, really?
Yeah. Bowser.
Like, I mean, you see it anyways.
Bowser from Nintendo.
Bowser porn?
Are you sure it's not Bowsette?
No, nope, I'm reading it right here, brother. It says Bowser.
But Mike does bring up a good point. Does the Bowsette porn fall?
No,
in
I
Bowser?
See her name further up the list, everybody. So don't worry.
Oh!
About it.
Okay. So I'm gonna change my answer. It's not Chun Li. It's that one big bitch from The Last of Us 2.
That's how I just said her name. I just said Abby.
Yeah, Abby.
Oh, that was her.
Yeah.
Well, you lost. Sucks.
I would be mad if it is Chun Li. I just lost.
No, I'll let you keep your answer, but yeah. Misty from Pokemon. Nice. Ashley Graham from Mass Effect. Bridget from Overwatch. This is where the human race gets real weird real quick. Gardevoir from the Pokemon, the actual Pokemon Gardevoir.
Gardevoir.
Okay.
Yeah. Is that that piranha plant looking dragon?
No. She's the one that has like the plant dress.
The ballerina one.
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah. Claire Redfield from Resident Evil. Pikachu.
The big undead Resident Evil.
Pikachu. Can't believe it. Can't.
Pikachu. Oh, that's my number.
Chun-Li up next. So you didn't get it, Mike, but Chun-Li is pretty high up there.
All right, quick aside about Pikachu. People like to shove gerbils up their ass. Do you think they like paint them like Pikachu and then shove them up their ass?
I don't know.
BK, you've been playing too much Stick of Truth. Just drop it.
Yeah, probably.
After Chun-Li, we have Link. So there you go.
I was dang it! I was close. Yeah, I was close. Damn.
Yeah.
Otto Wong from Resident Evil. Bowsette. So there you go. Let's see. What are we in the number six? Tifa Lockhart. God fucking bless, dude. God bless. You need a Tifa up there. Number five, Princess Peach. Nice. Number four, Jill Valentine.
Oh yeah.
Number three, it's a me, Super Mario, comes in at number three.
Hey. Gotta come clean out your pipes.
Yeah, brother. Number two, GG, it's D.Va from Overwatch.
Oh, okay.
And number one,
drum roll, please.
Her pointy titties and all, Lara Croft from Tomb Raider.
Wow. Oh, that makes sense.
I didn't even make any of those.
I was probably making that on that list.
Yep.
Faith is restored in humanity. Lara Croft, Tomb Raider makes so much sense. Yeah. I'm okay with that.
What was that one Tomb Raider game where like half of the screen was just her ass?
I don't know.
That's all of them.
Yeah. No, they made her ass smaller in the new ones.
Well, they made her smaller.
Anyway.
Oh, man. Well, there it is, everybody. Your 2021 video game related Pornhub search of the year. Those are funny as shit, and I will continue to be disgusted by you nerds each and every year.
For research purposes.
Yeah, it's in the notes, Junior, so just feel free to log into Google and do what you need to do with that. But yeah, and like I mentioned, the most searched word or topic on Pornhub this year, hentai. So check out Weebisodes in 2022, everybody. Speaking of Weebisodes, Call of Duty and Attack on Titan are having a crossover. A Levi's skin pack is coming to Call of Duty Vanguard. Pretty cool. I don't own Vanguard, so I don't have to spend money on that, but it did look fucking dope. And you get the little the scout symbol, which is actually really cool. But I'm not buying Call of Duty, so sorry. Not going to get it.
I'm not going to buy it either. But the other news here, Chinese conglomerate, gotta love them. Tencent acquires Turtle Rock Studios, the team behind the recently released Back for Blood, years ago, Left for Dead, and Evolve. So, yay, Tencent's acquiring more gaming studios to have more input into them. Fantastic stuff, honestly. Yes, you just love to see it.
I know, BK loves China.
How much money and how much of our information.
Well, I'm on TikTok a lot, so they definitely got all my shit. So,
I deleted it after there were no more Duke videos going up and then no more shanties. So I was like, all right.
Oh, speaking of shanties, I have something to send y'all when we're done. My dad sent me like, it's like a shanty Viking version of The Trooper by Iron Maiden. So check that out when we're done.
Ooh, okay.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah. So let's get into the Bungie situation. So I don't know. I feel like we did talk about this when it came out. I could be wrong, but Bungie had been dealing with like there was accusations of abuse, employee abuse all throughout the level, different levels of the company, sexism, racism, harassment, and all this stuff. Kind of similar, not as a little bit different, but similar at times to everything going on with Activision Blizzard, right? And Bobby Cokes. Except a little bit different here, different approach that Bungie took than Activision Blizzard. So let me get this. This is a message from Bungie CEO Pete Parsons. I'm going to read this for you guys. First, I want to apologize to anyone who has ever experienced anything less than a safe, fair, and professional working environment at Bungie. I am not here to refute or to challenge the experiences we're seeing shared today by people who have graced our studio with their time and talent. Our actions, or in some cases inactions, caused these people pain. I apologize personally and on behalf of everyone at Bungie, who I know feels a deep sense of empathy and sadness reading through these accounts. Over the last several years, we have worked to make significant changes at Bungie. We have removed bad actors from our studios with respect to their tenure, seniority, or interpersonal relationships. An action we can take only when people brave come forward or when bad behavior is conducted out in the open. We have not always been transparent about what's led to their removal or as swift as we should have been, but we will not tolerate toxic behavior from anyone. Being a, quote, rock star is no excuse, no matter how celebrated someone's track record is. We are now reading and digesting the full story for the first time today. We believe the people whose behavior warranted removal from our company have been terminated and are no longer working for Bungie, but if new information comes to light, whether through this story or by named or anonymous people coming forward, we'll act on that information and investigate with integrity. We have focused on better planning and more reasonable release dates, including the recent delays of Shadowkeep, Beyond the Light, and The Witch Queen, to prioritize team health while still delivering the quality and polish our community expects. We have reconstituted and invested our efforts towards a stronger inclusion, diversity, and equity approach at Bungie, driven in part by the ongoing conversation from our own people and the story surfacing in our industry. These efforts include the reformation of the Bungie Diversity Committee, the creation of several new employee-led inclusion clubs, such as Black at Bungie, Women at Bungie, Trans at Bungie, and Accessibility at Bungie, with more on the way. Along with the hiring of dedicated and highly respected leaders to better support our clubs, our people, and to focus on inclusion, diversity, and equality at Bungie. In 2001, we started to conduct reviews on our hiring, compensation, and promotion practices. This includes a compensation adult audit conducted by a third party to identify and address potential inequities. We are continuing to examine and redesign our people systems and processes to correct unintentional outcomes and ensure inequity cannot be built into the murky system. And it goes through some statistics and stuff that they've worked on. He says, I'm heartened by the progress we have made, but it's not enough and it's taken too long. It also does not sweep away the bad experiences people have had at our studio. As CEO, it is my job to factor both the past and the present to be accountable for all of it here and now. Speaking with the team at Bungie, reading the stories and seeing both known and newly surfaced accounts, it is clear we still have work ahead of us. I am committed to it. We are not yet the studio we have the potential to become, but we are on our way. And we will not rest or slow these efforts because we recognize that the journey of inclusivity, diversity, and equity is in itself the destination we all strive towards. This is a critical to achieving our vision and fulfilling the potential of welcoming, inequitable home of creative and technical excellence Bungie should be. The phrase, boldly to the stars, has fueled our creative engine since the beginning. We take this same spirit of hope and improvement to the crucial human work in front of us. Our current and future actions around the care of our people will define Bungie's future and its most important purpose. We are grateful and humbled to continue this work and are energized by the journey ahead. All in all, what that will tell me here, Bungie already handled that much better than Activision Blizzard, who went on the approach of, you know, sweeping it under the rug and then double down and then also union busting. So I'll start with you, BK, your thoughts here on Bungie. I guess I understand we can't, like, we shouldn't celebrate it, right? It's because this shouldn't have happened in the first place, correct? But at least I think we should also give studios and these companies at least say, hey, nice job for doing the right thing.
Yeah, we can certainly applaud them for stepping up and being proactive and taking steps like these, like Bungie did. Because, I mean, let's not forget that Bungie was tied to Activision there for a while with the release of Destiny 1 and 2, and then broke that off in the past year or so, probably 2 years ago now, I guess. I can't exactly remember. So I'm not saying that Bungie didn't have those problems until Activision got there. I don't know, but I'm saying, but they also have to Bungie has to separate themselves from Activision Blizzard even more. And so this is part of that as well. Like, oh, hey, like, just being proactive and getting out there and just trying to make it safer, better workplace. And so I think we can certainly applaud them, and hopefully it's a great place to, you know, to work at going forward for many, many years to come.
Absolutely. Dan, your thoughts here on Bungie's statement?
I agree completely with BK's statement there. And also, just to add on to it, I do think that when you do handle something like this well, it does show that it, in the future, it is a good place that you can potentially work at and have a good environment, good, you know, morale. And hopefully this increases people, you know, thinking that Bungie is still a good company moving forward, and you keep your people and also have people that actually still want to be a part of Bungie and still represent them.
100%. Mike, your thoughts?
I think Activision Blizzard could take a page from what Bungie did here. They are handling it really well, and not just Activision Blizzard, but a lot of other studios as a whole. And this, you know, it's just rampant from what I'm seeing, and in the gaming community, it's really sad.
Junior.
No, I 100% agree with what everybody's saying. The fact that they're being preemptive about it, you know, it's not like they're trying to cover their asses or anything about it. It's that it seems to me that they realize how big of an issue this is, how much bigger it could be. Well, instead of trying to do what Activision and Blizzard were doing, you know, trying to sweep it under the rug and try to, you know, turn a blind eye to it. Like, no, like, we're going to focus on it, and we're going to try to work with what we have to be better for everybody. And like Maple said, you know, that puts them in a good eye, because then everybody's like, yeah, if I have a complaint about something, they're going to take me seriously. So I would like to work for a company.
Yeah, 100%. It was, like I said, it's a lot better of a response, like everybody said, than Activision Blizzard gave. So shout out to Bungie for that. And hopefully they continue to get better moving forward, so we don't see any more of this type of behavior. And like Mike said, it's too rampant right now in the industry, and that needs to change. Final Fantasy 14. Talked about this last week about it. It probably is the greatest turnaround in video game history. I can remember it being released and everybody saying, ooh, this is really bad. Now it's so good. They had to halt the sales as Square Enix is so swamped with players. Don't know how long that's going to go for, but they actually had to stop selling the game online because they have so many players on their server. That is absolutely insane. That it's just mind-boggling to think about. Mike, Mike, you're a fan of these type of games. Have you played Final Fantasy Online?
I have, yes. It is way too story-driven for me. I'm more like get in the meat and potatoes of it. If it's like an hour-long cutscene, I kind of zone out or pick up my phone and fuck around. It's definitely not a game you should be doing that with. So for me, you know, it's an okay game because I didn't really give it the time it deserves. But it's really great that they are having this success, and it's really great for the MMO genre and as a whole. With the giant fuck up that New World was. This gives some sort of new life to the MMO genre, and maybe we get more games. Me as a primarily MMO focused gamer, so yeah, really great news, really awesome.
Oh yeah, 100%. But yeah, absolutely insane that they had to halt their sales because their servers are so bogged down. That's mind blowing. Also, Mary Jane, MJ, and Peter Parker joined Fortnite in the No Way Home set. Zendaya, the actress who plays MJ, becomes the first actor/actress to have their likeness used twice in Fortnite. Also, No Way Home is out now. Go see it. No spoilers, obviously. But yes, you should absolutely go see it. It is on track for, I think, over $240 million opening weekend, which will make it a top five grossing all time already. So pretty cool.
Nice.
Yeah.
And in a different marketplace, too, that's really impressive. Just with the whole, you know, pandemic and all that, that's like doubly wild.
Yeah, absolutely. So go see No Way Home. Two of us on this show already have. So go ahead and go see No Way Home right now. Pause the show. Go do it.
Yeah. Pause the show. Go watch it.
On it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Dan, we'll wait for you, man. We'll be right back. Yeah. Pretty awesome. I'm also, fun fact, I'm not going to spoil anything, but if you do go to the movie, there's a pretty good chance you're going to get a trailer for this next movie, BK.
I didn't.
Oh, I did.
I didn't. Oh. But Matt Reeves teases that our Pat's Bruce Wayne was inspired by musician Kurt Cobain. In the next Batman movie. I did not get that trailer.
Oh, yeah, I did.
I'll spoil something for Spider-Man No Way Home. Spider-Man's in it. Boom. Mic drop.
No Boom. Spoilers, please.
Oh, yeah, I got a Batman trailer in there, though.
Nice.
It was pretty cool. Vengeance. I was like, oh, wow, I am ready. Color me horny. I am ready.
I got the new Denzel Washington directed movie with like Michael B. Jordan. And I was like, God.
Oh, I didn't get that.
That looks great. Yeah, and oh, we'll go. I forget what it's called, but it like Letters to Jordan or something like that, or Book for something to Jordan, like because he's like writing or something like to his son. It looks great, and then also I got the new Kurt Warner movie, like the Underdog.
Oh, I didn't get
like,
that either.
That looks great. Man, Christmas time's gonna just have like Christmas time movies are like they're bangers. They're coming out again. I'm super.
Did
excited.
You get Matrix?
I did.
Oh, yeah,
I did.
Yeah, Matrix
and like,
also, yeah.
Well, I've been excited for that, but then, like, I've heard, like, I've read a lot of, like, people, like, opinions on it that I've already watched it, and it made me sad.
Oh, lovely. All right, well, there we go. Yeah, but the Batman with Kurt Cobain. Will Batman be riding around with a shotgun? We will find out. Oof. Sorry, everybody. Oof. Too soon. What else we got? Let's see. I put Pornhub on here twice. That's crazy.
You were really excited to talk about it.
I must have been. Xbox had to run their Halo Championship Series this past weekend on a dev kit because of the global shortage of Xboxes. So there you go. Everybody's going through it, even Xbox themselves.
Yeah, well, and chip shortages is part of the reason why Valve Steam Deck here was delayed to February 2022. Valve has said that they don't project any other delays after this initial one. But, hey, look, global chip shortages have affected all video game makers. So, yeah, it's a bummer that Ryan has to wait another few months here. But he'll give you his hands-on review, and hopefully the screen won't be sticky from going to Pornhub on it.
Yeah, dude, I've never once ever thought, let me use my video game console to look up porn.
I never have either.
That's why that always blows my mind when I see that, especially the PS Vitas. You fuckers are keeping those around just to watch porn when you have a perfectly good cell phone. So I don't
know. Well, I have to imagine they're like not looking up on their cell phone like because they're trying to be secretive about it. Like, all right, I'll look on my Vita because they won't look for porn on my Vita.
But like there's a fun little incognito mode. I don't know.
I know
what these people are doing. These guys are a bunch of rookies. Dan, they need to have the app. That's what they need. They need to have the app.
We need to promote that.
Yeah.
Xvideos came out with an app too.
Oh, great job, Junior. Way to shout out Xvideos on the podcast. That's fantastic. Do you know I had a guy coming to work and he was like, walked into our office and we were talking about something. And I'm like, oh, yeah, so-and-so is watching porn. He's like, oh, Xvideos, that's the place to watch porn. I was like, oh, my God. All right. Great. Fantastic.
Week on Porn Corner.
Yeah, the Porn Corner here on AM Nation Pod, hosted by Guadalupe. It's great times. I think that about does it for the video game news. Thank you, everybody, for listening. I hope you enjoyed our fun little Pornhub chat as well. I thought that was pretty funny. As always, you could find the show on Twitter and Instagram. Hit that follow. It's at AM Nation Pod up for both of those. You can listen on podcast platforms such as Google, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify. Also, on Spotify right now, it isn't rolled out to everybody yet, but it's starting to roll out now. You're actually able to rate your podcast. So as soon as you get that option, go to Amalgamation Nation, give us a 5-star review. It helps us get more noticed when it comes to popping up on like the search engines and stuff like that. So go ahead and give us a 5-star review. We appreciate that very much. Also on Spotify, if you click the link in our bio, you can subscribe to the show to help support the show. It's $5 a month. We will appreciate that as always. Make sure you go to twitch.tv/undeadblackbull. Give David a follow. You can give him a sub as well. If you have Amazon Prime, you get a free sub a month for Twitch. So give it to Undead Blackbull. If you're on the Epic Games, right? Maybe you're on the Epic Game Store on your PC. Maybe you're playing Rocket League, or maybe you're playing Fortnite, whatever it is. For the Epic creator code, make sure you use AM Nation Pod. That helps support the show as well. And the GG app, the best way to keep track of all your video games, all your lists that you want to make for games coming out, maybe the games you played this year, maybe you're coming up with a game of the year list like we are, stuff like that. Go on the GG app. It's the best place to keep track of all your gaming stuff. And you can follow us on there, AM Nation Pod. I mentioned this is the last show for the year before the holiday break. It'll be episode 220. So I just want to give a shout out like I did yesterday. Give a shout out to all you guys. Appreciate all of you. BK, Dan, Mike, Jr., David, and obviously Pete on the sports show. Appreciate you guys. We did a great job this year, 100 episodes. That's absolutely fantastic. We'll look to do it again in 2022. Everybody listens to the show. Appreciate you. Have a happy holidays, a Merry Christmas, a Happy New Year. Enjoy yourselves. Be safe. And as always, let's cut it off. Dan, for the last time for the year 2021, take us away with the quote of the week.
You got it, my man. Tomorrow is the most important thing in life. Comes into us at midnight very clean. It's perfect when it arrives and it puts itself in our hands. I hope we've learned something from yesterday. John Wayne.
Merry Christmas, Happy New Year's, and as always, you stay breezy.
That X videos and watch some Minecraft gameplay.
Like, boy, what you mean?
Oh my god.